Mike asked me, I think it was Pastor Mike asked me if I would speak. I think it was Wednesday, if I recall. I said, oh, sure, I'd be glad to do that. And, you know, immediately when you are asked to do something like that, unless God has really prepared you up to that point, you just say, okay, after I said thank you and whatever. And I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to minister on? And, you know, I'm just so amazed over and over at the faithfulness of God. He just said, tell them I'm on site. And that's literally what he said. Tell them I'm on site. And tell them I'm here to bring change. And I said, okay, Lord, let me get a piece of paper here so I can. And, you know, he is so faithful. He just began to tell me I could write it down as he was just giving me this for this service this morning. So I just am blown away by his presence over and over again, because he is really, really a good God. And so I've titled this message, On Sight. And God is saying that he's here to bring change. Praise God. Doesn't matter what your level you're at. You can be way up here right now, but that's just the first rungs of the ladder up into his presence. And I often say to the Lord, Lord, help me to step one step higher with you. Give me the grace. And we all, that's the hunger of our hearts. And God is releasing, one of the awesome things that God is releasing into this body, into your hearts and corporately as a body, is hunger for his presence. And Jesus said in John chapter 11, verse 40, which will be one of my key verses, I'm going to share several this morning. But Jesus said, if you will believe, you will see the glory of God. Yeah. And that was on the occasion when he was ministering to Martha and Mary and the disciples as they walked over to the gravesite of Lazarus. Jesus was a dear friend of his and vice versa. And Martha and Mary had called him to come and pray, and he delayed because he wanted to reveal the glory of God to them and to everyone and to us as well. And what I feel God is saying through this verse this morning is that God is going to resurrect the things that have perhaps fallen to the ground in your life, the things that have been buried perhaps in your heart and just chucked away for safekeeping. God is saying, I'm in a season now where I'm going to resurrect those things and bring them into fullness of life, and the glory of God is going to be revealed. His glory is going to be revealed. And so we just release his glory in this place this morning. We release revelation. We release promise. We release the manifestation of your word, Lord. We release your power in this place so that God's people can see you and be changed in your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He always responds to hunger. And that's the first gift that ever brought us to Jesus personally. I want to thank you, worship team, for creating the atmosphere, and for each one of you that have participated in worship this morning. God honors his people when we lift up our hands and our soul and our spirit to him and offer our thanksgiving to him. And that has created an awesome atmosphere, an atmosphere in which miracles can happen in this very room today. An atmosphere when out of your despair, out of your brokenness, out of your bondage and your failure, God can resurrect his life within you. And so dare to believe, and you will see the glory of God. And the Holy Spirit said to me, tell them I'm here to change. And as I grabbed my piece of paper and began to write down, he said, here's four things I want to change. Number one is I want to change their countenance. I want to change your countenance / constitution. And some of these I had to spend time in prayer just to figure out, what are you saying, Holy Spirit? And he began to release many verses to me. In Psalm 3, verse 3, the Lord says, I am the Lord, and I'm your shield, and I am your glory and the lifter of your head. And although David was inspired and got impacted with that wonderful truth, generations ago, this is being released over you today. God is saying, I'm your shield. That means he's the perimeter around you. He's also your glory. All of us fell short of the glory of God through our sin, through our sinful nature, the things that we did, but God is restoring us to the glory realm today. God is offering that to you today to come up to a higher level so that you can be changed and transformed in the name of Jesus. And he's the lifter of your head. When we encounter his glory, there's always change that occurs. And he said, I can lift your countenance up. Some of you have been heavy and have carried difficult things in your life. And God is saying, I'm here today to lift up your head. So you no longer have to be looking down, but looking up. And so he's releasing that anointing. He wants to change your countenance and literally saturate you with his presence. And so David got a glimpse of that, and I believe David walked in that. He walked into the temple of God, and he saw the Shekinah glory of God being manifested literally before them. We thank you, Lord. There's so many stories that I could go on with David's life here, but let me just say, David knew the glory of God. And you and I are being invited into his presence so that our countenance can be totally radically changed and saturate it with his presence. In Exodus chapter 34, you know the story of Moses. He had already been talking with Moses, and he cries out in the previous chapter towards the end of chapter 33 in Exodus. He cries out, Lord, show me your glory. And then in Exodus 34, he goes up to the mountain. He's given the instructions to bring the, you know, the stone tablets so God could give them the laws. And then God causes his presence to pass before Moses. And God proclaims his attributes before God, before Moses. And the glory of God is held within the attributes of our God. And God is saying, I'm coming to reveal my attributes to you. Jesus, my son, has demonstrated that. And I'm coming to reveal Jesus to you. And in that awesome presence of revelation, your countenance will become saturated and filled with his presence. I had to ask the Lord about this word constitution. He said, because he said, the first thing I'm going to change is the countenance and constitution of my people. And I had to ask the Lord and pray, Lord, what are you actually saying here? And he said, well, you know, we all have a constitution. And I said, well, what does that mean, Lord? You know, break it down so I can understand. And he said, well, you know, corporately, every ministry, this church has a constitution. Every charity, every godly organization has a constitution. And what does that do? It defines their purpose. It gives them mandate to operate. It defines what their mission is, their goals are, and how to implement that. And God says, my people need a constitution, individually and corporately. And that's what I'm going to reveal, Sharon. I'm going to reveal to you the mandate and purpose, the means, the mission that I've released over your life as an ordained act of my sovereignty. And God is going to bring each one of us into that awareness by saturating our presence or our countenance with his presence so that we become totally transfigured in his presence. He's going to take us up to a new level in him. And he says to expect that kind of change in your life because we're in a rapid, accelerated season of time in God's calendars. We're moving towards the climax of God's operation on earth as we now know it in this purity of grace. And so God is saying the first thing I'm going to do, and this is what I'm desiring to do, is to change the countenance and constitution of my people. God has a mandate. God has a purpose for your life. Doesn't matter where you're at in the season of life. The young, the little children that have been here, dancing up front, to the very eldest person, the very senior person in this building this morning, God is coming to change your countenance and constitution, to give you purpose even in your golden years or even in your elder years. God has a constitution, a mandate, a purpose for your life. And that's what God told me He's going to do. And He is doing that, and He's offering that to you and I this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, we have an awesome verse there. And it basically says that as we position ourselves in His presence, as we look upon Him, something significant happens. We're transformed from glory to glory. And so how do you receive, and how do you allow God to change your countenance and constitution? Well, you keep under the blood, keep up to date with God, and if that's too religious term, too much of a religious term for you, it means keep your repentance up to date. Now, don't start repenting about things that you didn't do. That's condemnation. But when the Holy Spirit comes to you and says, listen, you know, you need to look after this attitude, it's wrong in my sight, then in that moment, say, Lord, You're right. He's always right. Just say, Lord, You are right on about that attitude, and Lord, forgive me. And that awesome word, confess, simply means to agree with God that what you said, did, or done, or whatever was wrong, and that you say to Him, Lord, I confess that wrong to You, and I release it back to You. Please forgive me. In that moment, it's dealt with in God's sight. That's the power of the blood of Jesus. We've been singing about the cross this morning. Thank you so much again, worship team, for ministering that truth to us. Keep yourself, that's what I mean, keep yourself under the blood. Keep blood washed. Keep that slate of your heart open and cleansed before Him. You'll remember when the Israelites were being confronted with the, back in Numbers, it tells you the story. Numbers 23 is one of the chapters. But in any case, the Israelites are advancing, and they're faced with a kingdom that is opposed to them. And so the king of that kingdom hires a prophet. And I've studied Balaam as a prophet, and I really think he had an anointing from God, a position in God, but he was corrupted by the influence of power and wealth. And he heard from God. If you study the narration there, he was hearing from God. In fact, God said, listen, you've persisted, and I will let you go to the king. But you're to only say the things that I tell you to say. What I put in your mouth, you can say that. And so finally, he says to King Balak, he says, you know, God has blessed these people, and I can only release blessing. I can't curse these people. For what God has blessed, no man can break that blessing. I can't curse them. And of course, that made the king upset, and whatever happens, happens. But then we're told later that the Israelites actually conquer this kingdom and go into battle. And Balaam, the prophet that was out of his calling, in terms he had the prophetic gift but was out of his calling, doing the things he shouldn't have been doing, we're told in that latter chapter that he was killed among whoever, I forget. This is just coming off the top of my head, this story. So the Amalekites, perhaps. And Balaam was killed amongst them. And it says he was killed because he had counseled the king of the Amalekites to send a seducing young men and seducing young women into the camp of the Israelites and seduce them sexually, immorally, but also seduce them into worshiping Baal. And so I believe that they were temple prostitutes, and that was what Baal worship was all about. mix of demonic, immoral spirits that cater to the fleshly needs of the participants. And so Balaam counsels the Amalekites, we'll just send these people in. They'll infiltrate, they'll corrupt the nation of Israel with their false worship, their immorality, and that's exactly what happened. And they broke the blessing of covenant with God. And so plague began to break out amongst them. Because every time we open the door to the enemy, he brings in some sort of disaster, some sort of trouble, some sort of curse. And that's exactly what happened. And so it's very important that you and I, if we want to see this countenance and constitution change, where our mandates line up with his purposes, then we must keep under the blood of Jesus. We must keep our hearts fresh, cleansed, purified by the wonderful provision of God's blood through his Son, Jesus Christ. And then we'll see that countenance and that impartation of his presence that will change our mandate, change our purposes, change all of the inner workings of our spirit. I believe he'll even change our spiritual DNA and perhaps even our physical DNA so that we can harbor or we can host his presence. Let me just interject here right now. There are several young men. I want to call all the young men that are 35 to 20 years age right now to come forward. I want to give a prophetic word over you right now. All the young men between 35 to 20 years of age, come forward right now. Just line up anywhere. Don't face the audience. Face this way. Just come up right now. Thank you, Lord. These are sons in the house. These are sons in the house, people. Just stretch your hand out towards them right now. I want to speak over you the authority of sonship, the redemptive qualities of sonship. Each one of you are sons of the King. And today God is laying upon you that sonship anointing. In the name of Jesus, we release the anointing of the Holy Spirit over you. I open your ears today to hear, your eyes to see, in the name of Jesus, so that you can have encounters, revelatory experiences with God, prophetic encounters that will release you from the confinements of life as it is right now. I release into your hands the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Hold out your hand, Chris. In Jesus' name, I release the gifts of the Holy Spirit into your life right now. And I release over you a breakthrough anointing. I strip off of you all of the confinements of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. And I release you into your destinies. God is not ashamed to call you sons of God. You are awesome men of God. And I release the anointing of his presence over you right now. I place in your hands the scepter of rulership in the name of Jesus. Totally free, totally free, totally free, totally free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I see a picture of Jesus pushing his heart against your heart. Thank you, Lord, for the transformation that begins in the heart. And I release that transformation now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You men are going up. You men are going up. You're not going down. You're going up, 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 up. God is promoting. God is promoting. God is promoting his sons in this season. I lift off of you all shame, all condemnation of the past. We've all failed. There's not one man in here, young man. There's not one of us men in here that has not been to be immoral, that has not been tempted in the ways that you are. And many of us have failed. We all have sinned. And God is saying, I've restored you, I've redeemed you, I've given you a new start, and I'm promoting you into greater things in my kingdom. Just receive it right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whenever you feel, you can just go back to your seats. God is here to change your countenance and your constitution. Thank you, Lord. So keep blood washed. Keep positioned in my presence, says the Lord. Second thing that God told me, I just release you, young man, to go back whenever you feel you want to. Second thing God told me is here to change is our destiny in Him. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, Jesus says, I am the author and finisher of your faith. And that speaks about a continued procedure, a continued process of growing into Him, growing in, from faith to faith in Him. And He is the author and finisher of your faith. Now, often when we think about faith, we define it as how we see things in our faith. But this verse is talking about how He sees it from His perspective of faith. He is the author of faith in your life. And He's releasing that faith into your life. And it's going to grow, and it's going to grow, and it's going to lead you into your destiny. Because His faith for you is not what my faith is in Him. Do you understand what I'm saying here? His faith, His expectancy for me, I'll use me as an illustration. His expectancy for me is far greater than my expectancy is. Do you understand that? Because He's the author and He's the finisher, that means the completer of your faith. And it's from His perspective, not from ours. And God's saying, because of that, I'm bringing destiny changes into your life. Because I see the end, you just see the past and the current. I see the end. And my faith, my expectancy for you is flowing out of my heart. And I'm taking you somewhere in me, God says. You are in transit. Don't settle for same old, same old. Embrace the refreshing. Embrace the newness of His presence. Every day there's newness in God that can be discovered. I told you that awesome vision that I had whenever it was last spring sometime. I just went into this vision and I saw the presence of God like a cloud, a glowing, glorious cloud. And I knew it was God the Father. And the angels were just zooming in and out of His presence. And every time they'd come back out again, they'd begin to worship God and say, Holy, 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 majestic God you are. And the Holy Spirit said to me, do you see those angels, what they're doing? And I said, well, yes, I see them. What are they doing? He said, every time they go in, pass through the presence of God, they come out with new revelation that they've never seen, never known before. And what blew me away, the Holy Spirit said, since the day of their creation, they've been doing that. And they never come out with stale revelation. They never come out with something, oh, well, we saw that before, you know, whatever, you know, God's getting stale here. every time they go through the presence of God, they would discover a new revelation. The Holy Spirit said, they will do that for eternity and still never come to the end. And the only comparison he could give me, he said, you know, when astronauts or those that study the heavens and the universe, the further they can reach, the more they see is out there. It's endless. And he said, that's the way it is with us. We are totally endless, never, never ending. And God says, if you'll begin to look up to me, I'll change your destiny because you are dealing with something that is much greater than your little world, your little personal niche in life. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, says, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but of wood and clay. Some of those vessels are used for honorable means, and some are used for dishonorable means. And then in verse 21, he says, if you put aside the dishonorable things, you will become a vessel of honor. And so we have a choice. In the destiny that God has spoken over our lives, we do have a choice, and it is to put aside the dishonorable things. The Holy Spirit will speak that, I'm sure, to you. As we lay aside the dishonorable things and choose to glorify Him, then it just opens, it broadens the door of our life into the immenseness of His presence. And He will take you into the place of being a golden vessel, a silver vessel for His use. That's what the Holy Spirit has come to do in your life, to bring that sort of change. So how do you do that? Well, just ask and then trust His direction. Ask Him for more of His presence. Ask Him to take you not into what you see for your future, but what He sees for your future. Let Him work out His destiny in you. And you just lay yourself down as a vessel and say, here I am, Lord. I'm yielded, and there are areas that I don't even know where I need to yield more. But Lord, I give all of this life to You. And that releases the awesomeness of His destiny to be fulfilled in our lives. Third thing He said He would do, bring change into our life. He said, I'm going to change your consignments. And I said, Holy Spirit, you mean assignments? No, He said, I'm coming to change consignments in your life. I had to pray about this. And I had to say, Lord, Holy Spirit, what are you really getting to here? I understand an assignment. Like we grew up in school with getting assignments, didn't we? You know, take this home, do this homework, get it back here, and if you did it right, you'll get an A or whatever. You know, that's an assignment. And there is room for assignments in the kingdom of God. God says, go, and we go out and do whatever He told us to do. That's an assignment, and we come back and say, well, Lord, He says, well done, thou good and a faithful servant. Or if we don't do well, He says, well, you're done. No. But there's a difference between assignment that is just given and we go out and do it. And there is room in God's kingdom for assignments. He does that all the time. But He said, I'm moving the people of God into what I call consignments. And I said, well, okay, show me what you mean. And He reminded me of my wife. For years she used to do what she's a seamstress, and she's awesome in many ways. She's a musician, too, and whatever. But he said, remember, Laquita used to sew, and then she'd take those garments to a store. And there are stores around. They're usually privately owned. You don't get this with the big chain companies, but franchises. But anyways, when you take those garments to that store and say, listen, do you like these garments? I'd like to enter into an agreement with you, and I'll sell them on consignment. And the owner, if they like that work, they'll say, yeah, I think that's a good business. You know, it should sell. And that's what we call consignments. And the Holy Spirit said to me, I'm bringing my people into consignments, where that we'll enter into agreements together to accomplish. It's a mutual beneficiary, or it's a benefit that both of you can receive from. It's consignment. It's co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. And he said, I'm accelerating that right now in the body of Christ, because I'm looking for men and women to just take by the hand and run with them into the things that I've accomplished for them to do. And we're doing it on a consignment basis. I'm co-laboring with you. And he's saying to me that to tell you that you need to expect that sort of change. It's moving from just go out and do that, would you, and get back and let me know what's going on. He's moving us into a season of consignments, where that we'll go out in signs and wonders and in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it's the wonderful passage where Jesus is saying, come unto me, all you that are that labor and are heavy laden. That's kind of probably the old King James. But it means, come to me, all you guys and gals that are, you know, you've been working hard doing the work of the ministry. You've been laying yourself out there, and you're weary because of that. Just come to me, he says, and learn of me, and take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy. And he says, learn about me, for I'm meek and lowly, but my yoke is easy. And so he's speaking to us today that we can come and learn and take something new upon ourselves. It ties back into the Constitution, our personal mandate and purpose that I spoke about a few minutes ago. It ties in with that he's releasing new yokes. Everybody understand what a yoke is? It's not what you scramble in the frying pan. And again, us older people probably understand, because we've heard that. But a yoke is what you put on a horse so it can draw a load, can pull a wagon or whatever. It's the thing that goes around the neck and whatever, so that you can carry a load. And there's an anointing being released. Sharon, I'm sorry, I'm not picking on you. You're just so close, and you're just looking like an angel here. So there's an anointing, Sharon, being released, where that his presence is going to come on his people in a heavier measure, so that we can carry his presence, carry the things that he wants us to carry. And that's being released over you, and he wants you to expect that sort of change. He's saying, come. Some of you have become weary in well-doing. Come, and I will give you rest, in verse 28. And so my consignment for you is no longer just assignments. There will always be some of those that come into our lives from the Lord. But my consignment for you is going to bring increase of my presence upon you. You see, God will not really anoint us if we don't have a purpose, in the same measure if we do have a purpose. If we do have a mandate from God, it brings greater anointing, greater measure of his presence upon you and I. And God is saying, I'm releasing consignments upon the people of God. He's saying it's time for the watchmen on the wall to light their torches and take their position again. Many of you have a call upon your life already for intercession. And God is saying it's time to light those torches again and reposition yourselves on the wall and release the anointing of God's presence through declaration, through prayer. And bring in those that are needing to be brought into the kingdom. He's releasing Proverbs 24, verse 11. It says, rescue those that are being led out to death. Hold back those that are staggering towards slaughter. It's a powerful, powerful verse, and God is releasing that over the church today in this season. So watchmen, reposition yourself on the wall. There's a new strength and anointing. He says, I'm raising up people who will know my voice. I'm raising up people who will follow my cloud, who will carry my presence, who will release the fragrance of worship, who will demonstrate my presence with signs, wonders, and miracles, who will walk in breakthrough power, who will release the gospel with power. Salvation, God says, belongs to me. And I am holy. And I will justify my word in the earth. So he's going to change your destiny. He's going to change your consignments. And the fourth thing he told me to share with you, that he's going to change your relationship with him. He's no longer going to call you a stranger, an orphan, a slave, or a servant. You are a son and daughter of the King. Majestic King. King of kings. The ruler, the creator of the universe and all that we see and know. You are a son or a daughter of the King of kings. And corporately, you are my bride. I wrestled with the Lord about this revelation or understanding he gave to me. Because he began to say to me, he said, I really desire my bride. And I had to say, well, what do you mean? He said, it's not like lust. It's stronger than lust. We think of lust in a perversion, lust to sin. But the strength of what he's saying in his word when he desires his bride is much deeper than anything mankind can know in the perverted side or in the corrupt side or in the good, holy side of marriage. God is saying, I really, really, really desire my bride. Many of my sons and daughters are not walking as sons and daughters. They're walking as slaves. They're walking as orphans. They're walking as servants. Right. And we all know that we must serve the Lord. I mean, that comes out of love. It should. Not out of obligation or out of rules and regulation. But God is saying, I'm wanting to lift the bride. I'm wanting to lift my sons and daughters up into their rightful place. And he says, I'm really, really craving my bride. It's the best words that I can use to describe what I felt in my spirit. I am really longing after. I'm really desiring this kind of relationship with you as a son and daughter and with you as my bride. I'm calling you to that. And so God says, tell the people to expect change. I'm moving them forward into their destiny, into their purpose, into their relationship with me. I'm here to embrace you, says the Lord. I'm here to love you, to deliver you, to heal you, to empower you, to change all things and make them new. And his presence is here right now to do that. Yes, yes, yes. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We just release revelation right now. We release revelation in the name of Jesus. I release the promise in Jesus' name. I release manifestation of these truths right now into every single heart. I release the power of God into this service right now to create the change, to cause the change in Jesus' name.